The pandemic has been particularly hard on renters. There's been a lot of news about this recently, about people getting kicked out of their homes and about the end of the statewide eviction moratorium this fall. But it's not just evictions. Some renters are also facing another challenge, harassment from their landlords.
As some tenants struggle to pay rent, some say they are being harassed by their landlords, and tenant advocates are fed up. They are asking L.A. City Council now to pass an anti-harassment ordinance. Our I team's Randy Mack joins us live.
A growing number of California cities are moving to ban landlords from using aggressive practices to try to push out their tenants. Reporter Corey Suzuki has a story for us now about one renter's experience with her landlord and what it cost her.
Sometimes Dabia Binocli dreams about Italy.
It's in the sink now. It's in the sink. Cannot. That was milk, and you spilled it on the couch.
There's a painting on the wall of her tiny kitchen. It shows green trees, red tiled roofs, cobblestone streets.
It's a peaceful, peaceful river between two beautiful buildings, two beautiful sides of buildings. And I think life is less stressful over there because there's a lot of flowers.
I'm standing with Dabia in her kitchen. As we're talking, one of her kids drops a bowl of popcorn, scattering kernels across the floor.
Peaceful over there, even though, you know, it's hard for some people, like for me right now, but, you know, life is never easy anyways. Excuse me, what you doing?
Dabia and her kids are happy here. They live together in this small apartment in Walnut Creek, a Bay Area suburb. Leah is 7. She likes when they watch movies together. Alina is 2. She likes when they go to Trader Joe's. But like a lot of people, Dabia has really struggled to get by during the pandemic. 2 years ago, she got divorced.
And I trusted him, so he did a lot of bad mistakes. And the effect is on long term, you know, it's not something you fix in a month.
She was a preschool teacher at the time, but the school said she couldn't bring Alina, her baby, to work. She didn't have anyone who could take care of her then, so she started driving for Uber and DoorDash with Alina in the back seat. That was when Dabia's dad stepped in. He lives back in Algeria with Dabia's sister and brother and a lot of her family, and he helped her lease a car so she could work for Uber and DoorDash.
He helped a lot of people. I'm not saying that because he's my dad, but he was the best dad in the world.
Then COVID hit. And it was even harder to find work. Altogether, with unemployment and her delivery jobs, Dabia says she was making a little over $2,000 a month. And half of that was going to pay her rent. It was a really stressful year juggling all of that. But Dabia did have one really big thing to look forward to, the summer of 2021. That's when she was planning this big surprise trip to visit her parents back home in Algeria.
It's a plan of 5 years. I'm talking about a plan of 5 years. We've been through a lot before these 5 years, you know, divorce with their dad and a lot of struggle, losing jobs during COVID.
Dabia and her brother had it all planned out. Dabia's daughter was going to be on break. Spring was turning to summer and COVID restrictions were easing. Dabia was so excited. She couldn't wait to see her mom and dad again. And that's when their new difficult landlord arrived, a local real estate investor named Steven Pinza. I asked Dabia to read one of the letters they got from him.
As you might know, there are significant safety items that we need to take care of in your unit while we wish their repairs were not necessary or could be done without you moving out. It is not possible.
I also talked to two other tenants who said they got the same letters. The new landlord was ordering them to move out. He said there were significant safety issues with 11 apartments, and those tenants had until July 31st to leave.
So here's the bedroom, and pretty clean, as you can see, you know. The walls are fine. Nothing is falling. There's no ceilings falling. The closet is pretty clean. It's just not a grand.
I asked Dabia to show me around her apartment. There weren't any safety issues I could see. And then the landlord started doing other things. He refused to take their rent payment for July. He had workers take away the tables and chairs they used to have barbecues in the courtyard. He started doing loud construction work frequently. And he told them anything else they left outside, like toys and bikes, would be thrown away. Leah Simon Weisberg is an attorney with the tenants group ACE, the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment. She says what Dabia and her neighbors are dealing with isn't unusual, even if it does prey on struggling renters and their families.
Part of Steven Pinza's business model is to buy properties with long-term tenants and that may have some minor delayed maintenance, but he tends to just make money by pushing people out.
I tried to get in touch with Stephen Pinza. I called and emailed his office and knocked on his door. He hasn't gotten back to me.
He cleans them up a bit, you know, meaning like he paints it, does some minor repairs, and then he puts a much higher, he charges way more rent.
A lot of Dabia's neighbors did end up leaving, but Dabia and a couple other tenants didn't have anywhere to go. They weren't going to leave at the end of July. They couldn't. Instead, they were going to stay and wait for the landlord to take them to court. Walnut Creek doesn't define landlord harassment, but actions like refusing rent payments and intimidation fit the legal definition of harassment in other cities. And Dabia and the other tenants living in her building aren't the only ones dealing with this. Reports of landlords harassing their tenants have spiked during the pandemic, in the Bay Area and in other parts of California. A number of cities have moved to address it. Los Angeles, Oakland, and Richmond have all passed stronger anti-harassment protections meant to deter this kind of behavior. But Dabia had something else at stake, this chance to spend time with her family. They only had a small window when Leo was out of school, but it was getting closer and closer to July 31st, the day they were supposed to move out. And she was really worried about what might happen if they were gone for too long.
And when I saw this letter, I was really afraid that if we go, he comes and literally, you know, throw our stuff to the street, because he was so harassing, he was so rude that we would expect anything from him. So I just went ahead and canceled my trip. I didn't get those tickets. I didn't go. I didn't know what this guy was capable of.
A month later, she got a call from her family.
Beginning of July, I talked to my family, and here's the shock. Both of them get COVID, mom and dad. My dad is 68. My mom is 58 years old. They're 10 years apart, but both of them get sick to the point they couldn't breathe.
It was really bad at first, but soon Dabia got some good news. Her mom was doing better. She didn't need oxygen anymore. And her dad was being moved to the hospital. Her family said he was getting better too.
In the morning, I woke up at 6 a.m. and put in the pressure cooker. I was so excited.
It was July 31st, the day they were supposed to hand in their keys. But Dabia had bigger things to worry about. Today was her daughter's birthday party.
So I made this a lot, like enough for 25 people, couscous with chicken and vegetables. I wake up at 6 a.m. and throw everything in the pot. As soon as I finish and I cover it, and my daughter woke up, it was like 8:15, and she's like, Mom, get ready. She was excited, her birthday. And I was like, yeah, let's get ready. And we were heading to the bathroom. I heard the phone calling.
She picked up the phone. It was her sister.
The way she's talking is wrong. And she has the background of crying, like I can hear some cry. And she say, we tried everything. Sorry, sister. We're here with you. We love you. And I was quite in shock. I don't know. I know what happened after that.
Dabia's family had been hiding the truth. Her father wasn't getting better. But they knew she had a lot to worry about already, and they didn't want to add something else. So it was a shock when Dabia's sister called to tell her that their father had died.
You know, a lot of people came to my apartment, my neighbors at that time. They're all from my country. Three or four of them, and they heard me like, oh, I don't even know where I was. I was just crying. I don't even know. Maybe I was screaming too loud. I don't know, because quite a shock for me.
Sitting next to me on a park bench near her building, Dabia squeezes her water bottle in both hands, screws it and unscrews it as she talks.
And I remember I took my phone, and always on the end, he could say, kisses for my lovely grandkids. He loves my kids, of course, and kisses for my two princesses, for my two cuties. Things, you know, in the end, in his messages in French. He always writes to me in French.
Dabia's landlord didn't force her to cancel the trip. But the stress of balancing multiple jobs, taking care of her kids, and dealing with the harassment, it was too much. So she made the choice not to go. And now, on the wall of her tiny kitchen, there's another picture frame. Inside is a photo of her dad. Still, things are a little more stable right now. The day I stopped by Dabia's apartment, she tells me she was finally able to find a job at a preschool that lets her bring Alina along.
It is a relief because I can have her with me, can have the baby with me. I really love it. We feel like we know each other for years and we literally just started, you know.
The state and county eviction moratoriums expired at the end of September. And Walnut Creek doesn't have any local eviction protections like cities in Alameda County. But Dabia said she's ready for whatever comes next.
I am ready. Whatever he wants to take me, he'll go. Whatever path he'll work, if he becomes human and, you know, come and talk to us and give us some more time and we'll work it out. We'll leave one day when we can, when we have, you know, enough money, which it's already in my plan. I want to move. I want to have a 2 bedrooms. I want to have big space. I want to have a backyard for my kids. I do want to have all that, but I cannot afford it right now. And explain to him.
Sure. The last 2 years have taken a lot from Davia, but she still has her home. And for Leah and Alina, Davia says that's the most important thing. She hopes they'll be able to move out soon too, to find that bigger place with the backyard, to bring her mom to the US so she can have family around and help with the kids. And for now, she dreams about that river in Italy. For the California Report, I'm Corey Suzuki in Walnut Creek.
Corey Suzuki is a student at the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism.